Hi everyone, I'm Justin Chisholm and you're listening to the Yacht Racing Podcast. On this episode, with just a fortnight left until the start of the opening regatta of the 36th America's Cup, I caught up with Emirates Team New Zealand sailor Glenn Ashby from the Defender Syndicate's base in Auckland to find out more about the team's campaign to defend the America's Cup. So Glenn Ashby, Emirates Team New Zealand, welcome to the Yacht Racing Podcast. It's a real pleasure to have you on the line. First of all, just tell us, where are you right now? Where are we talking to you?
Yeah, g'day, Justin. Yeah, look, here sitting in the base at the moment in Auckland, New Zealand, just looking out the window. Beautiful day outside today, about sort of 10 to 15 knots. And Luna Rossa and Ineos out on the water training today. So we're in the shed doing some measurement today, but hopefully out over the next couple of days again, which will be great.
Well, it's fantastic we've got this chance to talk to you, because I know time is an absolute premium for you. And we're just a couple of weeks away now from the first regatta of this 36th America's Cup. Can you just tell us from a Kiwi point of view, just tell us what the atmosphere is like in Auckland right now, and I guess around the bases in particular?
Yeah, look, things are certainly ramping up here for sure. You know, infrastructure-wise, there's a whole lot of building works that have been completed over the last sort of few months that are all sort of getting finished off. Every day you look out the window, there's just new and exciting things to look at, and you know, just the way that the America's Cup village is sort of getting put together. The race management boats are all arriving, the marks are all sort of turning up, and watching all the teams coming in and out of the water training, it's definitely a different feel now than it was just 2 or 3 months ago. So it's becoming very real. A couple of years ago you felt like you sort of had plenty of time on your hands, but how quickly those couple of years have gone. And obviously this year has been a pretty crazy year for everybody, and to be able to look forward to an event hopefully that's going to be absolutely fantastic and some great racing is something from a sailing perspective that we're thoroughly all looking forward to.
How different is it for you guys as defenders now when you've been the challenger on so many other occasions? Does it feel different, or is it kind of business as usual?
Yeah, look, it does feel different. Absolutely no question there. It is very, very different. And, I think just the whole having the event and the regatta in your own sort of backyard, if you like, is very, very different. And compared to what San Francisco was and what Bermuda was for us, leaving your sort of home base, in Auckland and travelling away, it sort of felt like you were, going offshore to another regatta. And whereas here, it very much does feel like you are the hosts. And, there's a lot more sort of pressure, if you like, I guess, from external influences, having an event here in your backyard. So those distractions will need to be managed very accurately, and you sort of feel like at times you sort of get pulled from pillar to post with different things. But that'll be something that as a management group and a leadership team will have to sort of manage very accurately for the rest of the team and make sure that we don't get spread too thinly through that busy period.
Now, the elephant's in the room. Let's get it out of the way straight away. COVID-19, the pandemic. It's having a major effect on international sport all around the world. So many professional sports are being played behind closed doors, like football and tennis and American football. That's not the case in New Zealand, though, is it? I saw rugby games being played, rugby matches being played to full crowds down there. That for us, for the rest of the world, that looks just amazing, and we can't wait to get back to that ourselves. Can you describe what life is like in general for people down there right now?
Yeah, look, I mean, New Zealand, I think, has been very, very fortunate and also has done a fantastic job, I think, in actually really sort of, knocking it sort of on the head fairly early and taking a really strong stance. And as sort of frustrating as that was sort of seemingly at the time early on, getting locked down while the rest of the world sort of was, we were sort of looking at the other way. Everyone was out, being able to go to the bars, go to the movies, keep playing sport. And then, we were all sort of locked down, and now to sort of be looking at it, out the backside of it, we're the ones that are able to go to the bars and, to watch a rugby game with 40,000 other people and be sort of, seemingly back to sort of a semi-normal lifestyle of being able to catch up with family and friends. And it really is difficult and sad to sort of see what's happening in a lot of places around the world. But that's the way New Zealand had taken things on early, and I think for us as you know, sportsmen and women, being able to look forward to an event where we do have international competitors that have been able to come over from overseas and get set up over here in New Zealand and be able to go out and race against each other and be able to have a really truly international sporting event, you know, with a race village that will be able to be attended by, you know, at this stage just really New Zealanders, but no international guests, which is very, you know, or limited international, I should say, which is unfortunate, but it is what it is. But in actual fact, we're very, very lucky, and I think very much looking forward to being able to have some great racing. And, you know, life in Auckland or life in New Zealand in whole is pretty nice at the moment, you know, compared to what a lot of other places are, which is really interesting.
They always say time is the one thing in the America's Cup that you can't buy, and it's the most valuable commodity because of that. All of the teams have lost time because of COVID-19, whether it's because of boats being on ships, lockdowns, you know, whatever it might be. Everybody's had to manage something. It's definitely affected you, I'm sure, as a team at various stages. But can you give us an idea now, where are you on in terms of the schedule? How ready are you as a team to try and defend this America's Cup?
Yeah, look, to answer that question, I mean, absolutely, every team had issues to deal with. I think at potentially sort of different periods throughout the year, you know, depending on the circumstance in those particular countries. And, you know, we certainly lost, you know, 5 or 6 weeks through the sort of early part of the year, you know, through our build of our boat too. Our boat building and shore team did an absolutely miraculous job of being able to sort of pull those weeks back through working sort of, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with three shifts to actually pull back that time. And we actually managed as a group to be able to launch our boat on the date that we specified, you know, basically 12 months ago, very much pre-COVID. And for that to happen, it was an unbelievable effort, and literally we're very much back on track, if you like, and on schedule, and we don't feel like we've really lost a whole lot of on water time and development time. We kept sort of developing, obviously, you know, off the water, you know, while the boat was getting built, and we had fortunately had our little 12-metre test boat to be able to sort of keep doing some of our development on whilst our boat one was sort of on a one-way trip to nowhere heading to Italy and back on the same ship again 10 days later after arriving. That was a real shame. But, you know, effectively we've been able to keep rolling forwards, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of the other teams would have been in a similar circumstance where what you envisaged at the start has just simply had to take a little bit more effort to hit the ground running here for the events in New Zealand.
And I'm sure part of that making up for that lost time was down to the simulator. You probably leaned on the simulator pretty hard, I'm imagining, like the other teams too. Can you give us an indication of the ratio between how much time the sailors are spent on the simulator and how much time they're spent actually racing a sailboat?
Yeah, look, I mean, these days, you know, it takes, you know, 35 to sort of 45 people really to get the boat, you know, in and out of the water and to keep it running. So, whereas, you know, it only takes sort of two or three people to be able to get down and actually use the simulator side of things. So whilst, yes, we do spend time on the simulator, it's really a validation of the tools that the designers and the engineers are sort of working on as to what will be a reality. And you absolutely have to get out on the water, and you have to test, and you have to get out in real life to validate your toolbox, if you like. And yeah, we definitely spend time on the simulator, but we also, you know, try to spend time on the water, particularly now, just validating all those decisions that we have made, you know, literally in a dark room behind closed doors. So it's obviously a fantastic tool these days for you know, the aeronautical engineering industry, also for racing cars and also for motorcycling simulators a huge part of development, and it is now with sailing as well. So that was a massive tool for us, for Bermuda last time, and then this time around it's been a very valuable tool as well. So it's the trick is just getting the balance right between being indoors and being outdoors at the end of the day, and if you can do that well, hopefully you're in good shape.
More fun on the water though, Glenn, right?
Definitely a bit windier and a bit wetter on the water for sure. look, it's great. We all love getting out on the water. There's nothing that quite, you know, can ever emulate what's actually happening in real life, and you know how the wind's coming across the water and the sea state, and you know the little subtle weather changes and gear changes that you have to make actually on the boat. There's really nothing that can simulate that. So whilst it's really good to spend some time indoors, at the end of the day, it's as we've all grown up, it's pretty nice to get out in the sunshine and get some fresh air.
I'm sure. Now, listen, I want to talk to you about the second boat. That's the boat that you're going to race in the America's Cup, and it's the boat that you'll race in just a few weeks' time in the America's Cup World Series and Christmas Cup. I'm guessing there's limited amount of what you can actually tell me about the boat, but what can you tell us about it? Because it looks pretty different to the first boat.
Yeah, look, it is. It does look very different. It behaves very differently from our boat one as well. And one of the things I guess with everyone's boat twos versus their boat ones, if you like, is that everybody's boat two was well under design and well under sort of VPP simulation, well before a lot of the boat ones were even launched. So I know there's a lot of speculation of teams copying this and that and the other, but off each other. But really, at the end of the day, those boat twos have been on the drawing board for a very, very long time. And there comes a point in time where you have to put a line in the sand, where you have to sort of finalise your design, and then you have to do the engineering, and then it has to be drawn, and then it ultimately has to go to the boat building facility to start construction. So all that takes a very, very long time. And our boat two is really a culmination of a huge amount of learning, from the simulator, but also spending a little bit of time, on our boat one. And really, at the end of the day, it's the electronic and the hydraulic development and that sort of thing that have really sort of continued right the way through, and are continuing right the way through, as is the sail development. The hull, ultimately, you only get a chance to really build two of those, whereas you get a chance to build, more foils, more sails, and you get to upgrade your electronics and your sort of ergonomics of how you actually sail the boat as well. So some things are able to continue to develop, but some things aren't. And when you make a decision on what your hull is going to be, that's one of the most major decisions, I think, of probably the campaign. So, our boat looks a bit different, but hopefully it'll perform just fine.
My next question was going to be, how much of a performance improvement have you seen with boat two? But I'm wondering if the question really is, are the improvements to the hydraulics and the systems on boat two going to enable you to do things from a crew work point of view and a manoeuvring point of view that you couldn't do with boat one? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, look, in some cases, yes, absolutely. I think that's certainly the case. And but I think for all the teams, every team's boat two, I'm sure, is a step forward from their boat ones. There's no question about that. But the electronics, the hydraulics, the ergonomics, the way you sail the boat, the knowledge of how to sail the boats, in every single department throughout all the teams, that accumulated knowledge, you're on a super steep learning curve with it all. And that's the beauty about these sort of these America's Cups, I think, it's a design race, and we're very much back into a design competition as well as a sailing competition, obviously. But it's such an exciting period to see the gains that you can make, and it really does give you a huge amount of encouragement to get up in the morning and go to work when there's so many gains on the table to be had, and working together as a group, how you sort of weave your way through that pathway of so many different options and just sort of keep narrowing things down so it all fits together like a big jigsaw puzzle is really, really interesting. And obviously the sailing of the boats themselves, like we saw with the AC-72s, the AC-50 catamarans, at the start of the cycle, everybody's all over the shop and you can hardly foil and you can hardly sail the boats. But as we've seen, with even where we are now, our teams have worked out how to tack the boats, how to jibe the boats, how to sail the boats in breezier conditions, how to sail in light conditions, how to get up on the foils and how to execute good race laps. And that's a really, really exciting time. And knowing that we've got some racing coming up fairly soon, is even more exciting because you get to put all the work that you've done as a full team, to the test. And, this is quite an exciting period. We've only been on the water for about 6 days ourselves, and it's pretty daunting, in a couple of weeks' time having to go and do some racing. But, we're ultimately setting up for the actual match in March ourselves. But I think it's a really, really good incentive for us at the moment to do some good hours on the water and actually learn how to get the boats around the track and ultimately race against the competitor. So I think all the other teams are extremely looking forward to the racing coming up in a couple of weeks' time.
Let's talk about sailing these AC-75s. You're one of the people who can tell us and can give some insight into what that's like. But first of all, just tell me, confirm what your role on the boat is this time around, because I don't want to make any assumptions. I mean, last time you were main trimmer and nominally skipper, right?
Yeah, look, last time, my role was, slightly different to this time round, but ultimately we're all doing exactly the same jobs that we've always done for the last 10 years. My role basically stayed the same. I'm very much, part of the aero team, working with the sails, trimming sails. The boats are sailed a little bit differently to what we were sailing, previous boats. So with these boats, you end up doing different roles at different times, depending on the manoeuvres and depending on the situation. So with the split crew, generally from one side of the boat to the other, some people manoeuvre and cross, some people don't. So on our boat, we can very much mix around with what we do in different positions, different flight control positions, different trimming positions, different helming positions, and that's what keeps it really interesting. So I can't give you too much more information than that, Justin, but just to say that it's very exciting. And if you want to know what it's like, what it's like sailing upwind, in 15 or 20 knots, doing sort of 35 or 40 knots upwind, you can sort of stand on the seat of your car and put your head out the sunroof, drive on the motorway at 110 or 120 kilometres an hour, and that's pretty much a feeling of what you got in your face when you're going upwind on these boats. It's absolutely incredible performance, and the closing speeds are pretty impressive, and we're sort of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 knots faster upwind at times than what we were on the AC-50s in similar breeze. So it's the boats absolutely rip. They're extremely manoeuvrable, and from a design concept perspective, I think it's gone above what our expectations were, I think, from a design concept of how well the boats are actually performing and manoeuvring and what you can get away with doing on these boats. It really is a pretty fun boat to sail. Quite daunting at times with some of the loads, but you've got to trust the tools, and you've got to trust your teammates around you to ultimately get the boat around the track, and that's something that we're thoroughly enjoying at the moment, getting to put ourselves and the boat to the test of getting it around the racetrack.
Now, the first event of the 36th America's Cup is coming up, as we've said. It's going to be the first time these AC-75s have ever raced. If that wasn't a big enough milestone, it's also the only time you're going to get to race against the challengers as a team before the match, before you're racing against one of them in the match. So this event is really important to you, I'm guessing, even though it doesn't count for anything. Is that the case?
Yeah, look, absolutely it is. We're going to have the world's eyes upon us, whether you like it or not. in a couple of weeks' time. So it's very much a big test, and we all want to do well. All the teams want to do well, obviously, although it has absolutely no bearing on the result of the America's Cup, in 3 months' time. It's very much an event that you want to sort of hit the ground running with and put your best foot forward. So, there'll be pressure to do well, as there will for all the teams. And I think, to be able to finally do some racings and actually have these new boats go head-to-head, on the racetrack out on the Waitemata Harbour is going to be very, very special, and something I think that the whole world will be waiting in anticipation to see how it goes.
Do you think there's going to be any sandbagging? There's been a bit of talk on the forums and the websites.
Oh, look, I think when you put so many competitive yachtsmen and women in the one sort of arena, Justin, I think I'll leave that one up to you to make up your mind if you think anyone will be sandbagging or not.
Well, my next question was going to be, are you guys going to be sandbagging? But I guess you're going to dodge that one.
I think everyone will be enjoying putting their racing hats on again, and it'll be a whole lot of fun. So I can't wait.
And we're going to see upwind starts on this. So what's your feeling of how much boat-on-boat manoeuvring, the classic match racing stuff that we all know and love and all the fans know and love, how much of that do you expect there to be?
Oh, look, I think there'll be plenty, myself personally. How could there not be? It's, there's, as I said, there's a lot of competitive people out there that that want to get one up on their opponents. So there'll be there's plenty of characters that are going to be on the water. So absolutely, there's going to be a lot of boat on boat action, and I think the way everything's sitting up, it's going to be pretty exciting, and you're going to have to make some pretty quick decisions of how you get yourself in, potentially and out of situations that can get, can obviously come very quickly. So looking forward to it, and everyone's going to learn a huge amount over that period of racing. So it'll be a big eye-opener and massive lessons for everyone, I think.
What do you think is going to make the difference between winning and losing races in these boats?
Yeah, look, I think obviously boat handling in these early stages is going to be a huge part. You can very easily lose a whole lot of ground if you make a boat handling error. You obviously need to choose the right sails and equipment for the races as well, depending on the conditions. That makes a difference as well. I think in getting off the start line cleanly, like in any yacht race or in any race in actual fact, is one of the major things. So learning, your time on distance and what you can and can't do in different breezes, I think is something that all the teams are still coming to grips with. And, that's going to be something that we're going to have to really, really work hard on to get right, because it is a new world. And a lot of the teams have been, testing a lot of systems and a whole lot of equipment on their boats, but haven't done a whole lot of sort of pre-start and sort of practice race ever before. So it'll be a little bit of an eye-opener for everyone, but I think we will absolutely see some fantastic racing. And as we lead into the summer of the America's Cup, it's the level of competition and the level that the boats will be sailed at will just get better and better. So this is very much just the beginning.
Now, I know you've got to go to a meeting, so I'm going to give you the final question. I was going to ask you which of the Challenger boats you like the look of best, but I know you're not going to be able to answer that. But what I am going to ask you is once the Prada Cup Challenger Selection Series is on, you guys are obviously not part of that. How will you be spending your time as a team in the lead up to the match?
Yeah, look, very, very much, I think, like we did with our preparation here in New Zealand before we headed over to Bermuda, with the AC50, we were very much racing ourselves, and ultimately I think you are racing yourself to a certain degree. We will be focusing obviously on our boat handling and our speed, but we also have some pretty handy chase boat drivers as well, that in Ray Davies and Chris Salthouse, that can very much pretend to be an AC75 foiling monohull that is our opponent. So they seem to have some pretty good VMG sometimes to get themselves out of some sticky situations, but they do put us under a lot of pressure, and we have a lot of laughs. And it very much teaches you what the racing situations can be, and it can be those situations one after the other, after the other, after the other. And That'll be sort of our summer, really. We'll be just going through speed and boat handling, but also really working together well with the rest of our team to make sure that we're absolutely the most polished we can be come race time for the 36 Americas Cup in March.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm gonna close it down there, Glenn. I know you've got to go to your meeting. Thanks a million for talking to me. The very best of luck with the event that's coming up. We'll all be watching, and we're all very excited to see how this whole thing plays out. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you in the new year.
Sounds right, Justin. Thanks very much. Cheers.
That's it for this episode of the Yacht Racing Podcast. My thanks to Glenn Ashby from Emirates Team New Zealand for making himself available to speak to me, and for all of you for listening around the world. Please, if you can, remember to give us a rating and review us. It does help us grow the podcast. And until next time, I'll just say, sail fast, everyone.